It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you know that when you hear that school bell. And what we're going to do today is go back to Isaiah chapter 29. Now, this is quoted several times in the New Testament, and in my preaching, I love to go to the New Testament where it quotes the Old Testament, and then go back to the Old Testament and put those quotations in their context. And that's what we're going to do in just a few moments. I'm going to be reading from the Rockcliffe Review, which is the bulletin that is passed out to those who gather on Sunday mornings at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And in that bulletin, I have a synopsis of the sermon that they are going to hear that morning. And this morning, the name of the sermon is Woe to Ariel. Well, now that comes from Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 1. And we're going to understand what Ariel is and how that refers as we get into that lesson. So let me refer you to this bulletin. I'm going to read from it. And we start off looking at the New Testament quotations that come from Isaiah 29. Here we read, when Paul made reference to Israel's rejection of the gospel in Romans 11 and verse 8, he said of them, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. He was referring to Isaiah 29 in verse 10. Hezekiah sought God from his heart, but some in his day made a pretense of their faith and outward forms of their own devisings. Jesus thought of them when the Pharisees accused some of his disciples for not washing their hands. Jesus said, ye hypocrites, well does Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. We read this in Matthew 15, 8 and 9, and also similarly in Mark 7, 6 through 7. Jesus is quoting Isaiah 29 and verse 13. When Paul wrote the Corinthians saying, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 19. He was referring to Isaiah 29 and verse 14. Now some of them did not approve of how God had chosen Israel as an instrument to bless the world. Paul wrote of them, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? That's Romans 9, 20 through 21. It was an analogy Isaiah had used years before him in Isaiah 29 and verse 16. A study of Isaiah 29 puts these references in context. The chapter begins, woe unto Ariel. Ariel is Jerusalem. It is the city where David dwelt, Isaiah 29:1, and Mount Zion, Isaiah 29:8. Ariel means lion-like, and that may be what the inhabitants thought of themselves, but it is a similar word to their word for altar. And in speaking of the destruction of the city, God said, it shall be unto me as an Ariel, that is, as an altar. The city will be besieged and destroyed. Its once lion-like voice will be as a whisper out of the dust, Isaiah 29:4. The enemy will arrive and depart quickly, Isaiah 29:5-8. But the people of Jerusalem would not take heed to what the prophet said. Hence, the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of a deep sleep, and have closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered, Isaiah 29 in verse 10, As for the hypocrites of that day, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Isaiah 29:13. Their wise men thought they'd made themselves secure, but the Lord said, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudence shall be hid. Isaiah 29:14. Those who would think to turn the will of God upside down, Isaiah said, surely your turnings of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? Isaiah 29:16. Yet beyond all this, Isaiah spoke of a better day, a day in which there would be no distinction between a forest and a fruitful field. The deaf would hear, the blind would see, and the meek and the poor would rejoice. The terrible one, the scorner, and the unjust would be brought to naught. As Abraham was redeemed, so Jacob would not be ashamed, for he would see his children sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. They that erred in spirit would come to understanding, and they that murmured would learn doctrine. Isaiah 29:17-24. Many of the Jews in the days of Jesus were longing for that day, and such a day as that came with the coming of the spiritual kingdom following the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his ascension to the throne at the right hand of God. The promises God made through Isaiah extended to all that are afar off. Acts 2:39. For in Christ we all become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. Well, that is the reading from the Rock Cliff Review, and that was the sermon that was preached that morning at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And we read from the Rock Cliff Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now I want to return us to the lessons that we have been studying in the life of Christ. And we've been studying the parable of the sower, and we're into that part where Jesus is interpreting that parable and giving us the meaning. In previous class, we've discussed about how some of the seed fell by the wayside, and how the birds came and took it away, and how that represented the Word of God falling on hard hearts, and the devil snatching that word away before it can make an impression onto that heart and change that heart. And then we read about the seed that fell on the rocky ground, and that is that shallow ground, which would easily be warmed by that sun, the rock being just below the surface. And so the seed falling on that ground would receive that warmth and spring up, and it would remain growing for a while, but it would have no root. The ground was too shallow, and it would dry under that sun. And so that meant that in time of persecution, those people who receive the word in a shallow manner, they will not be able to withstand the temptations, and they will fall away. And now we come to the thorny ground. Mark 4:18-19, we read, and others are they that are sown among the thorns. And these are they that have heard the word, and came, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Like the others, this class also could hear and understand and receive the word of God, and did receive it. It was in their hearts and growing there with the promise to produce fruit. The trouble was also within themselves. They had the cares of this world. Instead of thinking of the cares of spiritual things, the deceitfulness of riches. And can't riches be deceitful? People think all their problems can be solved if they have a little more money. But that is deceitful. The pleasures of this life and the lust of other things, these are the thorns which choke out the word of God. We can focus on these things, and oh, how many of the hearts are turned now and choke the word of God by worldly things and earthly things. Such characters have not sufficient spiritual life to know this said fact. God must be loved and served with a whole heart. 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. But then we come to the good ground. And those are they that were sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. For the condition of heart mentioned in this verse, men alone are responsible. If hearts are hard, stony, or filled with these thorns, God's not responsible. If hearts are insincere and dishonest, God cannot be blamed. Men must be honest and sincere themselves. A good and honest heart is not only one that tells the truth in a trade and pays its debts, but one that is sincere and considers its own best interest and deals fairly with the word of God. Men may be dishonest with themselves, with the word of God, and with God. A heart full of prejudice is not a good one, and not ready to receive the truth. Men may twist the scriptures so as to pervert their meaning, 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. They may make merchandise of the gospel, 2 Peter 2 and verse 3. They may handle the word of God deceitfully, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Those who do these things are dishonest, although they may tell their truth in all dealings with men and pay all their debts. A dishonest man cannot become a Christian until he gives up his dishonesty. The heart which is disposed to make the word of God mean more or less than it does mean is not in a fit condition to receive the truth. A good and honest heart desires to know and to do just the will of God. Such a heart receives the word of God, holds it fast, and brings forth fruit with patience. It endures all opposition and triumphs over all obstacles. This is the only heart in the four classes benefited permanently by the truth. The fruit is the spiritual fruit. That fruit of the Spirit we read about in Galatians 22 through 23. And here again is shown that the Word of God is the seed which produces all spiritual fruit that can be born in life. There's nothing else necessary to make Christians or to produce spiritual fruit. Now that ends the Sunday school lesson except for this little rhyme at the very end. Be not selfish in thy greed, pass it on. Look upon your brother's need, pass it on. Live for self, you'll live in vain. Live for Christ, you'll live again. Live for Him, with Him you reign. Pass it on.